This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Ah, there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Monday, Johnny Lupinacci. How are
here
you?
We are here, man.
One week since we did the show together in Madison. So, you know, I'm missing our Monday show last week where we could stand in the same studio and, you know, chop it up live and in person. But we're back at it. And believe it or not, Tim, we had graduation this weekend.
Yeah.
So a couple hundred future teachers walked that graduation ceremony. It was fantastic. I loved seeing watermelons on the top of the caps. I love that kind of, you know, get my voice out there, show my thing, but also celebrate this accomplishment of walking. And then it's spring and I'm working with our MIT. So I'm teaching 5 days a week now, Tim.
Oh, like, man.
Just 5 days a week. I'm back in the classroom 5 days a week for a Maymester, we call it. It's a condensed course for our future teachers. So I love being in the classroom. I love being on Busted Pencils. And tonight is a special night because...
Well, it's special night, first of all, because this is the beginning. Teacher Appreciation Week. Teachers out there, this is it, man. This is where, you know, I remember Teacher Appreciation Week, and I said my very first year teaching, one of my students came in with she was a second grader, brought in a brown paper bag and put it on my desk, you know, with a bump and said, my mom and dad said, you'll like this, but don't open it in school. And you know what? that was some real appreciation, man. I love that. So out there, but and then it is, yes, it's Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. You all hear her laughing. Matt Damon's mom, she's there. We're not going to get in the what would Matt Damon's mom say yet, because all three of us are talking about Teacher Appreciation Day. And Johnny put together, Nancy, the comment saying, why don't we appreciate one of our favorite teachers? Johnny, is that how you framed it?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it today. Well, first I woke up and I saw it as a Google Doodle. So it reminded me because, you know, I kind of always like, hey, Teacher Appreciation Week is every week, but this is a special one because it's a reminder, because we're not always appreciative of all of our teachers. And man, they are out there on the grind, really working, making a difference. And so you said, hey, it's Teacher Appreciation Week. Let's talk about it on the show. I said, absolutely. What if we shared a memory or just a shout out to one of our favorite moments with a teacher who has influenced our life? You want to do that, Tim? Well, should we do that?
Yeah, I thought, because when you put that out there, it was, you know what, to me, instantly, so if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in first. Yeah. Mr. Lawrence, fourth grade teacher, 1970-something, and Mr. Lawrence had 1970s, you know, permed afro in his hair, beard and mustache, and at that time was okay for teachers to smoke their cigarettes while they were teaching us in fourth grade. But he was the most compelling teacher I had ever had. He was my first male teacher in elementary school. And his inspiration, I credit him with saying, he is the person that inspired me to become a teacher. So Mr. Lawrence, and I called people back where I went to elementary school, and they said, yeah, Mr. Lawrence is still there. So put it out there. Mr. Lawrence, man, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. How's that? Nancy Carlson Page, what about you?
Well, the teacher who influenced my life the most wasn't ever in a classroom. It was my best friend, Howard Zinn, and everything I learned from Howie was on the front porch or the back porch steps. And he trained me to be a politically, socially conscious person and an activist. But I also wanted to tell you that I went to a book talk 3 days ago from a teacher I've known for years. Her new book just came out. I want her to be on your show. Oh, Kathy Greeley. Wow. It's called Testing Education. This is a memoir from a teacher describing her teaching, which I have personally observed as incredible, in middle school before ed reform and then as a result of ed reform. And it's a painful story, but it's an honest, true one. It's the only book I know of from a teacher about the effects of ed reform on their work. So I hope you'll invite Kathy, and I'm just saying a shout out to her because it's been amazing that she wrote this book and is having the influence already that she's having.
And she still is teaching now too, you're saying?
No, she retired a couple years ago, okay. But she's very involved in all the education issues going on in Massachusetts.
So pre-ed reform. Johnny Lupinacci, your shout out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wow. I'm just excited because, too, I'm on the keyboard quickly looking up testing education. What a phenomenal book. I'm going to grab that and listen to it because I love learning from teachers. But when I thought about Teacher Appreciation Day, and I've been thinking a lot about what kindergarten and first grade teachers across our country do now and have been doing for just decades and decades. So I'm going to have to take a shout out to Mrs. Palmer. I have no idea where she is or what she's doing, but I will say, she taught me to read. She's my first grade teacher. She showed compassion towards me. I was a very difficult child in a working class community.
Get out.
I was in timeouts all the time and being shouted at often. And she's one of the first and only probably elementary teachers I had. You know, I'll give it era. The Tigers had won the World Series. So for folks out there with sports trivia can figure out my age and time. But this is, she was one of the few who was able to harness my ADHD and able to direct me in ways that, one, I learned, and two, I felt good about who I was. And I learned a whole lot about how I behaved also impacted others. Mm. And the lessons I learned in first grade carried me quite far. And I would say even into adulthood, I can hear Mrs. Palmer sitting me down with calm, regulated energy and teaching me how to be in community with other people as a learner. And so I got a shout out to first grade teachers out there because I know you do this for so many students. You see them, they're all ramped up in energy and they're running around and they're going bonkers in your classroom, and you figure out a way, hopefully, to recognize who they are, to show them that they're valued in the world, but that it's not anything goes and that we have to, kind of be kind to ourselves and others and be our best learner selves. And so shout out to Mrs. Palmer and to really in general, every kindergarten and first grade teacher out there, because you are making it so that these young people can be in community together as learners. Appreciate you.
Yeah, teachers, thank you so much for everything you do. Truly, Busted Pencils. Man, we busted pencils for all the teachers out there. Man, thinking about that, John, you made me think about this first grade and teaching. You said teaching to read. There is a big movement right now in America, the science of this, it's really started in this old idea of the science of reading. We've had our friend Paul Thomas come on to talk a little bit about that, about the science of reading. And here it is. It's the first Monday of the month. And you know what the first Monday of the month is? Geez, when we have an important topic and we have a question, we have our go-to. What would Matt Damon's mom say about the science of reading? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, what do you think about, what is this science of reading stuff? Tell us, help us understand.
I'm sure you know, and probably many people listening know, that this isn't a new thing. There have been like for 100 years or more, and for the 5 decades since I came into education, there have been what have now been called the reading wars, right? The reading wars. Mm-hmm. And they cycle through, they're cyclical. They depend on convincing people that we have a reading crisis and then we have to solve it. And then there's attention created. Basically, it's always been essentially between phonics first people who think phonics should be directly taught to kids and skills based, and people who have a more whole language or balanced literacy approach, looking at a more holistic way of teaching reading. And it shows up in different ways. But this one, what's happening right now, which is the latest iteration of this ongoing cyclical contention, is scarier in the sense that it's built on absolutely nothing. This word science has been appropriated to describe this, but there is no science. I have spent days trying to get to the bottom of this movement, trying to find the research, to find the, there are no citations and what they, it's all BS. I mean, they are just saying things that is coming out of nothing credible. I can't find any solid research basis for what their claims are. But, and first of all, the whole thing came out as a result of this journalist, Emily Hanford, with a podcast she had called Sold a Story, that is just full of misconceptions and falsehoods. And if you listen to it, I mean, it's alarming because this is my field, early literacy. I taught it to graduate students, Lesley University, for 35 years. This is my field. And I'm telling you, what's happening right now is so harmful for kids because it's resulting in basically top-down phonics-based reading instruction at the expense of comprehension and meaning and other language experiences that play a significant role in learning learning to read. Not everybody learns the same way.
So, Nance, it sounds to me like you've got a little bit of knowledge on this thing, 35 years of teaching early literacy, because when I hear the science of, people are always putting it out there. First of all, as you said, the appropriation of that term is to, quote, qualitatively convince people that, hey, it's science, so it's good.
Yeah.
And then of reading. But as you point out, too, early literacy, I have, though, have heard staunch, radical, you know, kind of defense of the science of reading, particularly in the name of young pre-kindergarten, first grade students, is saying it is an absolute necessity that we science of reading all younger kids. Thoughts?
Well, many states, I think it's 27 even, have passed legislation mandating the science of reading. So it's happening. I mean, it's happening all across the country. It's a hype. It's a media hype. Okay. It's a propaganda campaign and people are falling for it. Legislators are falling for it. But if you look carefully, there is not only isn't any credible research that connects to instruction in reading. It's a very complicated field. With a lot of different, there have been thousands of studies on reading, but also there's no research that connects reading, that shows any reading instruction program is better than any other. So that's also a falsity. There's a whole range of them.
Okay.
Teachers need to know all this stuff and be able to apply it to any given kid like Johnny. A teacher needs to know how to work with a kid like that and all the other kids in the room. And it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
It's not. Nancy, we're going to hold you over.
Back
with Matt Damon's mom.
Okay.
There it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It's all because of you. That's you, teachers. It's Teacher Appreciation Week. Busted Pencils is appreciating you. Right now, though, first Monday of the month, what would Matt Damon's mom say about the science reading? We really, really tight on that last segment. And so Nancy agreed to just give us the final thoughts and to let us know that, hey, the first Monday of June, we're going to really dig deeper. And so you were talking about this, the kind of the top-down mandated approach to this curriculum. And what I hear this is, just wonder if you think, isn't this just a mandate to sell a whole bunch of curriculum for curriculum providers, and that they're really, like you're saying, there's no science. It's become a mandate to sell curriculum that may or may not do it. Okay.
Millions of dollars are made on the curriculum packages that result from the cyclical arguing about how to teach reading, and scores don't change. So the other thing is, this movement is a distraction from facing the real issues, the social factors that contribute to poor reading scores. And that has to do with poverty, and that has to do with inequality. And those things don't get addressed. And it's very easy then for legislators to say, oh, we're gonna solve all the problems. Schools can solve social problems. So we'll solve the problem of reading by mandating the science of reading, and we're gonna just take care of the low scores. And that isn't how it's gonna happen, because if you look at any zip codes or states, with low scores. It's all from lower income places. And just a nod to teacher appreciation. I know that when teachers get mandated another approach, it so undermines their professionalism and disrespects everything they know, all the work they've done to tool up to be teachers and understand how to teach reading. And then people who don't even understand or have the background that teachers have about how to do it come along and tell them how to do it. And it's very, very discouraging. And so teachers, thank you for hanging in there. And hopefully you can keep teaching reading the way you know, and you don't have to follow this.
That's Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Yes. Yep. What would Matt Damon's mom say about the science of reading? Well, you just heard it, Nancy. And you know what? We appreciate you as probably one of our favorite teachers too, right, Johnny?
I would say so. Yeah, we appreciate you having you on the show, but also sharing all your wisdom with us and our listeners. So, Nancy, thanks for busting pencils with us.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for doing what you guys are doing. And all to right, everybody so out there cares about kids.
Thank That's you, right. Nancy. Okay. All right. Johnny, so, wow. You know, we couldn't just let that hard ending with Nancy be in the first segment. We had to get her to come back and at least put that final bit of wisdom out there for us. And so always appreciate Nancy Carlson Page coming on the show. But, you know, Johnny, too, hey, full show, because people have been reaching out. But a few weeks ago, I interviewed the provost and the dean at Western Michigan University about a Grow Your Own Teacher program. And it's phenomenal. You know, Julian and Laura, the dean and the provost, man, just went on about like Michigan moving in a direction to finally say we're going to address the teacher shortage.
Yeah, they
did. I said, you know what? I want to have some of these Grow Your Own candidates on. And guess what we got today?
We sure do. I mean,
we do. We've got
because we can talk a lot about how this is happening, but what better than, especially in Teacher Appreciation Week, having one of the Grow Your Owns from Western Michigan University. We have with us Alex. Alex, how you doing?
Yeah. Alex, what's happening, Alex?
Hey, it's great to be here.
Yeah. So Alex, let me do a little bio for you, because you have a unique story in this Grow Your Own approach, because I think most listeners are going to be like, whoa, wait, what? He's already a teacher? Yeah, he's a fourth grade teacher at Ryan Intermediate at Gull Lake Community Schools in Richland, Michigan. This is his fourth year teaching. He's also the building's leader in ME coordinator, which is your version of the school improvement chair. You're working, though, towards your master's in literacy studies through the Grow Your Own at Western Michigan. You plan on graduating in spring of 2025. So, Alex, welcome to Busted Pencils.
Hey, thank you for inviting me on. This is going to be great to share.
It's the second time you just got introduced and welcome to Busted Pencils. Okay, Alex, but when I say that, so you already are a fourth grade teacher, and Johnny just said, so first of all, yeah, hats off, man, appreciation, dude. Loving it. I hope you got a whole bunch of love today in that first day of Teacher Appreciation Week. How, though, explain to me the Grow Your Own standpoint for a teacher who's already been a teacher, what it is that you are doing, literacy studies. Just give us a sense of how the Grow Your Own program works with you already a licensed teacher in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, so for myself, like you said, I'm already currently teaching. I have my undergraduate degree in elementary education. And coming out of that, I knew someday down the road, I wanted to go back and get a master's degree to further my own education so I can better serve my students. But at the time, I really didn't give myself like a hard timeline of, oh, in X number of years, I'm going to go back. It was just kind of a thing that was out there that I eventually wanted to do. And then this Grow Your Own came along about a year ago. There was kind of some rumblings going around that the state was going to be funding this and districts could apply for it. And that spurred me on of, hey, if I'm going to go for it, this is the opportunity for the state to cover that tuition for us is a game changer. That kind of spurred me along maybe a little quicker than I would have, but I couldn't pass up the opportunity. So as an undergrad, my focus was on math. You had to pick one content area at Western Michigan to focus on. And coming out of COVID and just generally, I felt that literacy studies was an area that students had a lot of need, especially the gaps after COVID being virtual and everything. So that seemed like a natural fit, and it was one of the programs that was offered, because you couldn't just go get a master's for anything at all. It had to be an area of need as defined by the state. So I went ahead with the literacy studies, and initially our district actually did not get the first round of funding. It was so highly sought after that they didn't have enough money to go around. But at that point I was like, hey, our district said they're going to reapply a second round. It'll be retroactive. So I'm just going to get started with it. And it kicked in this summer semester will be my first semester covered under it.
Wow. So you went, yeah, you went for it. Johnny Lupinacci, right? Do you hear the uniqueness in this program? He's already a licensed teacher, but using Grow Your Own, and I think this is what I heard, Alex, it's a critical need literacy studies. And so using that, I love the innovation on that, because I tell you, the Grow Your Own in a couple of the states that I'm aware of, it is very much in one way, it is only to increase the number of licensed teachers, and teachers with a license need not apply. This, what Alex is talking about at Western Michigan with his school district, though, is saying in Michigan, then it feels like to me they're going, not only do we have a shortage and we want to grow our own teachers, but we have areas that we really want our teachers to get that extra professional development, that extra license, that extra credential, because we know there are gaps. And so here's Alex out there saying, I'm already a teacher. I would love to get a master's degree. I love the whole idea, first of all, of you getting a master's degree already, because, man, that's a whole other conversation in teacher education, because in a lot of states, they try to do away with teachers and master's degrees because it doesn't do anything worthwhile. We are talking, though, to Alex Bohr, fourth grade teacher in Michigan, Western Michigan, Grow Your Own candidate, fourth grade teacher, not moving on yet, but getting his master's degree in literacy studies, critical shortage area. Alex, when we get back, we're going to dig deep, though. And I truly, I want you to talk to me about, when we get back, why a master's degree, why it matters.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're having Alex tell us everything. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Michigan, Western Michigan University, Grow Your Own. Talking to Alex Bohr, fourth grade teacher in Michigan, using Grow Your Own funding to pursue his master's degree in literacy studies. Alex, and I said before the break, I'm like, okay, master's degree. Have you heard any of the, you know, for a long time now, people have been saying, well, teachers don't need master's degrees. It doesn't do anything to help their students. Any thoughts on that kind of, or have you heard anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, outside of like the education,
yeah,
you hear that a lot, you know.
Yeah.
In the programs, you know, a lot of times even the professors start to plug. So when you come back for a master's eventually, and it's kind of like, hey, let me finish one thing at a time here. I do hear some of that every now and then. And kind of the thing that I come back to is, you know, we as teachers believe that everyone is a lifelong learner, including ourselves. And so if I can find different opportunities, whether it's through a formal master's degree or just other development opportunities to continue to grow myself as an educator, to be better every year with whatever content I have, you know, I want to pursue those opportunities. And a master's degree, while it is a large thing to take on, it also can provide a lot of other opportunities for me as a teacher. You know, I plan to still stay in the classroom with my degree, but I could also take that to be like a reading specialist or other interventionist and things like that.
Mm. Well, so when you grow your own, just, you know, we'll lay it out there. So the idea here in Michigan, though, too, it's not just a shortage of teachers, but they're saying there's a shortage of critical areas, too, within the teachers. So you're responding to that by taking the master's degree and adding on that reading in literacy studies, reading specialist type of credential certification. How did you said I'm thinking about my master's degree, but I mean, how did you find out about the Grow Your Own program? You said you did your undergraduate at Western Michigan. Was it a connection there? I mean, how did you find out? And just talk us through how you become a Grow Your Own candidate.
So in our district, they actually sent communications out to all staff probably year and a half ago saying, hey, this program is coming. We're going to apply for the funding, but we need to know how many people in the district want to pursue this. So they had a little form that we had to fill out and submit to them saying, do you want to do this? Where would you want to do this? What programs would you want to do? And then they use that data to be able to submit to the state and say, here's the amount of people that we want or that are interested, and here's the amount of money we would need to do that. So that process kind of started, and then they got back to us with, here are the colleges that we're partnering with, and obviously Western Michigan was one of them. I believe Central Michigan was one, which to me, that's a rival, so can't go there. and so, and I believe there's a third one that I'm blanking on right now. It might have been MSU, but basically, for me, already going to Western as an undergrad, I was very familiar with a lot of the professors there, very familiar with their online learning system. And so it was just kind of a natural fit to continue there. And so then once we kind of submitted on our behalf, like, here's our interest and what we want to do, the district and some of our representatives took it from there.
Nice. Well, Alex, you spurred a caller. Caller Justin from Stillwater. Oh. Justin, hey, oh. Justin, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. So I just was interested, what do we think Mick Jagger meant by, you know, the governor of Georgia or wherever he is, that he is a tyrant of some sort and somebody who is intolerant?
Justin, I think that might be on a different show we're talking about right there. We're talking grow your own candidates in the state of Michigan. Anya, if you just maybe check in with Justin and see where, you know, if he wants to bring us in there. But Alex, that happens sometimes, Alex, man. I thought, I'm like, Alex got somebody coming out there wanting to figure out where they could sign up for Grow Your Own. Okay, it's a scholarship. So it's expensive to get a master's degree. What conditions are there then for you, Alex, to get the funding for this? I mean, what are you agreeing to? What are you saying? You know, because typically, you know, there ain't no free lunch. Right. So, okay. So you got to be telling the state, you know, what, like, give us your commitment, because is this 100% of your tuition for your master's degree is funded as long as you do this?
Yes, 100% is funded. And there are some stipulations that come along with it. Like, you have to stay within the state of Michigan for a certain number of years after you complete. Districts can also add like other stipulations of, if you're going to do this through our district, you have to teach in our district for a certain amount of time. Ours, to my knowledge, did not add that certain thing in. They're just kind of like, hey, we're growing educators, and if you happen to get your master's in a couple of years, life circumstances come up and you move somewhere else, they're not going to hold that against us. But for the state itself, they're kind of saying, hey, we're putting up this money and we want to invest in Michigan teachers. So we're going to require that you can't just finish your master's on our dime, go teach another state kind of thing, which to me makes sense. If you're willing to fund it, you've got to be able to get a little bang for your buck as well.
Johnny, Alex said one of your favorite words, invest.
Well, yeah, man, I think these are great programs. You know, they're thinking forward about keeping teachers not only in the classroom and building their, you know, professional skill set in our communities. It's just it's really investing. Like, we talk about good teaching invests in future democratic citizens in our communities, like the young students in our class. We're also talking about the state saying, we don't just care about like the teacher's students' performance. We care about how teachers are doing, how they feel, and how they're supported. And that kind of climate, that kind of investment in recognizing and valuing them as teachers in the state, right, is really important to retaining great teachers in the state. I mean, we see it around the country. There are teacher exoduses, Tim, as you called it, you know, many times from the profession, and also from states to other states, where, you know, where teachers go because they're a little more valued, because there's an opportunity to either be paid commensurable to, you know, the living expenses, or just in general, maybe they have, you know, less strict policies around standardized testing and, you know, and the strictness of a scripted curriculum. And so these are great ways that states, remember, we talk about all the time, Tim, on the show, education is a state right. It's why local democracy is so important, because your state and your local government process matters a lot. And Alex is a great example of that. You know, state of Michigan has swung back. It's like a pendulum. It's been doing this for decades.
Oh, yeah.
Swung back to really supporting teachers and being a state where they say, hey, we know it's really hard. We know the conditions are difficult, and we want to support you. doing everything we can do to make it so you, Alex, and any other teacher out there doing things like Alex is doing, saying we want you to feel supported and invest in your education, because lifelong learners make for great teachers. So Alex, thanks for participating. And hey, we got Jack from Merrimack, who's also, he's a former teacher. So right. Let's get Jack. Jack, come on. Come on the show with us.
All righty. Anytime, my friend.
Yeah.
The years that I worked on my master's degree were pretty interesting. I worked at a school district outside of Milwaukee, one of the suburban districts. And as we know, there's a wide difference in the financial ability of school districts throughout the state. This one has happened to be in one of the 20 richest counties in the country. On a per capita income basis anyway. And they let me off for a full year to work on my master's degree at half pay. They paid me to work on my master's. In return, this was about the time that computers were just starting to come into the public schools. And my master's was on computer tutoring in the classroom. And I evaluated for that, for my final project, something like 80 or 85 individual computer tutoring programs, everything from organic chemistry nomenclature to basically figuring out the electron configurations of various atoms. And it was a very useful degree to get at the time. It's a very useful thing to study at the time.
Right.
Things have gotten a lot more advanced since then. But the point is, this was the early stages when a whole bunch of school districts throughout the country got Apple II computers, courtesy of Apple Computer.
So, Jack, Jack, so it sounds too like to me. So first of all, you valued getting your master's degree. I wonder though, if we're talking about this program, you got half pay. Alex is having his master's degree fully funded by the state of Michigan. Any thoughts on the whole idea of a state stepping up and fully funding teachers' master's degrees?
Well, that's a great idea, an idea whose time has not only come, but it should have come years and years ago. How useful it is very much depends on what you decide to study. But I found mine extremely useful. That's all I can say.
All right, awesome, Jack.
Well, Jack, you're a former teacher. Appreciate you for all your years of service and for your continued listening and participation in the show, Jack.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack. So, Alex, right there. So you are special, man. The fact that Michigan has really made that switch, as Johnny said, the investment in teachers. You know, we heard from your provost, Julian, and your dean, Laura, about this program, but Michigan really making this investment in a teacher like you to say, yeah, we value education, we value lifelong learning, and we have some critical need areas. And right now, just to remind people too, as you said, Alex, you know, coming out of COVID, you know, we're finding that some younger children have some gaps, particularly when it comes to literacy. And so you are then engaging in, would it be similar to what's called like a reading intervention specialist type of degree you're getting with your literacy studies?
Yeah, that would be fair to say. I can obviously remain as a classroom teacher with this additional endorsement, but I could also take that to either be like a reading interventionist teacher or even like a district literacy coach.
Okay. And so your intentions are to stay in your classroom and use this knowledge with your fourth graders.
Yes. Yeah. For me, being in the classroom is where it's at.
Okay. So now that you've been in the program, you're currently teaching right now, you're taking classes. When do classes occur? How do they occur? Are they online? Are they face-to-face? Are they, you know, do you have regular? Just give us a sense. When you're taking a class, how are you getting the reading or the reading endorsement curriculum? How is Western Michigan delivering that curriculum to you?
So it is a fully online curriculum to be able to account for the fact that they're partnering with a lot of districts that may not be super close to the Kalamazoo where Western is. Typically, a course, in my experience, would meet one or two times per month live, like as a synchronous session on a Zoom or a WebEx or whatever. And then the rest of it is held like in their e-learning platform, and you work through the different modules, activities, readings, videos. Occasionally, they have you pair up in what they call PLC groups, professional learning communities, with smaller groups of students to engage on the week's activities and readings. Then you kind of submit like your little report back to the professor of what did you talk about, what did you cover, what are you working on. So I do feel like they tried to adapt and understand to the fact that, hey, a lot of these students pursuing masters are also full-time teachers, and a lot of them have families, and a lot of them have other commitments. So trying to not make it like a hard schedule of like you're going to class after school every night, or you're having to commute to different places and things like that. I think it's been really, really accessible.
So the, yeah, so the modality there. Yeah, you're speaking of the, those other institutions. Just so you know, Johnny Lupinacci is an Eastern Michigan
grad
person.
Oh, nice.
I'm
a big fan of colleges of education across the state of Michigan, though. I've dabbled in quite a few of them, and Western's got a great, I mean, we've got some great friends over at Western, Tim.
So yeah,
I'm trying to start Eastern Michigan.
No, I wasn't trying. I was going to.
I was a Bronco for a little while.
I was going to see if you were going to jump in and be like, no. So it's Alex Bohr, Western Michigan, grow your own fourth grade teacher pursuing master's degree, literacy, critical need area, state of Michigan, investing in their teachers. Hey, Teacher Appreciation Week. Alex, man, thank you so much for busting pencils with us, our friend.
Yeah, happy to be here, and happy Teacher Appreciation Week to everybody out there.
That's right.
All right.
Keep up the good work, Alex.
And more appreciation coming up next. Yeah. Coming up, last segment, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842, Teacher Appreciation Week, awesome teacher, what would Matt Damon's mom say? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, our favorite teacher, showing up to tell us a little bit about the science of reading. Alex Bohr, Western Michigan University, grow your own candidate, learning, adding on a master's degree to his fourth grade teaching. And in the middle of that, Johnny, we had a call. And
from Justin, from I think it was Stillwater.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe we cut him off a little prematurely.
Well, no, I mean it was good to push it to the end because you know we were on a roll with Alex and we were doing a lot with teacher appreciation and you know coming off of a great segment with Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. So it's a jam packed Monday, but you know what we always talk about, Tim, is that you know teaching comes in many forms, and we've talked a lot about you and I have in the past, and we've had some special shows dedicated to it and things. But we talk often about, you know, the political voice that people in particular that like musicians have, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, anyone out there who has an audience that like they're like all music is political, right? Mm-hmm. Some is for the kings and the queens and some is for the serfs on the other side of the wall. And, you know, I think Justin brought something up where Mick Jagger, you know, the Rolling Stones recently played at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. And they closed their concert with "You Can't Always Get What You Want," just a classic, right?
Right, absolutely. So,
but you know, Mick Jagger did the thing. We love music, and we think musicians are teachers. We think that the message that they share with their audiences and through their music moves people. You know, and it's a stalwart and part of social movements everywhere. So I want to give applause to Mick Jagger, and Justin brought it up, but you know he. Before the Rolling Stones started playing "You Can't Always Get What You Want," you know, he said, here we are in New Orleans, right? And they want to include the governor, Jeff Landry, too, in this message, even if he wants to take us back to the Stone Age, right? Mm-hmm. And then played "You Can't Always Get What You Want." So big ups. So I know Justin was asking what we thought about it. Big ups to Mick Jagger, who got on the stage, you know, and said something about the political moment that the people in Louisiana are in. And really, it resonates across our country, right? As there are politicians who do intend very much to take us back into the Stone Age. But, you know, it was great hearing that in the news this week. It was awesome for Justin to call and bring it up. I don't even know. Maybe they were discussing it on a previous show and Justin got the chance to call him. But Justin may also know, and listener out there, you're listening, you may know, Tim and I, we chop it up about music too, because we talk a lot about formal schooling, but we often talk about liberating education from schooling. And, you know, and everybody has a voice, and every voice is matters. So Mick Jagger, big applause from the Busted Pencils guys, because you know what? You can't always get what you want. But what I do want is I do want people who have the opportunity to speak truth to power to do so. And you know what? I got to throw some love to. I have very little knowledge specifically of Landry's politics, but what I do know, I'm not a fan of. But, you know, he clapped back on X, you know, the Twitter. You know, he said, you can't always get what you want. The only person who might remember the Stone Age is Mick Jagger. Love you, buddy. You're always welcome in Louisiana. And so, you know, a little bit of conversation. We talk about this all the time. This is the kind of conversations we need to have. Speak truth to power, Mick Jagger did. And you know what? Governor Landry, you know, clapped back. And he said, you know, you might 80-year-old Mick Jagger be the only one.
remember the Stone Age.
But the fact is, you know, our elders do remember a time when it was like, hey, really? And I especially want to speak to that in this moment. Teachers come in many forms. So, you know, I think about last week, Tim, you and I being, you know, out on the front lines with John and Gordy, and both those guys remember a time when they were when they were part of the Vietnam protests, you know, and so they were sharing wisdom from history, and that's really important to do. And so I commend that. And we got to do that kind of thing, Tim, you know, with a lot of folks in Madison at the Minocqua Brewing Company. And Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. So check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Yeah, man. Bringing that all together just like that, you know, man, I tell you what, though, to progressive beer, ain't no Stone Age there, right there. That is some woke beer, woke coffee, and, man, loving what we were doing there. I think that is so kind of funny there. You gotta give, you know, the governor of Louisiana a little bit of props for coming back. Now, whether he wrote that, you know, Mick Jagger's maybe might be the only one who remembers the Stone Age. That's kind of funny, though. I'm kind of laughing at that and feeling. I see producer Anya was kind of like, whoa, yeah. I mean, right, Anya?
Yeah, it's a good clapback. I wonder how old this governor is. Maybe he's up there in his 60s, 70s. He remembers the Bronze Age, not the – but you know, I'm a Stones fan. I like when he gets out on stage and says something like that. So, yeah, good for him.
Exactly. Jeff Landry is 53 years old. So, 50, you know, He's up there, but he, you know, and really, I love it too. Anytime somebody has that opportunity to share not only the politics of their music, but to share that sentiment, Mick Jagger, you've earned that, and appreciate you speaking truth to power.
Yeah, amazing, right? 80 years old, yeah, doing what he does do. It is incredible. Yeah, you know what? And I'm a little bit older than Governor Landry, and I have to say that I saw the Stones farewell tour in the 80s.
That wasn't a farewell either. I can't tell you how many bands I've seen their final show. You know,
back in the Stone Age of the 80s, yeah, the Rolling Stones were saying farewell back at that time. And here it is, 2024. And no, they're not. Man, Johnny Busted Pencils, loving it. Monday, Teacher Appreciation Week, first day one, Teacher Appreciation Week. We're saying, you know what, all week long too. Yeah, Busted Pencils, we are going to be appreciating those teachers. In fact, I put it out there for all the listeners. Give us a call. Tell us, come on to the show. Tell us who your favorite teacher is. Show some love, show some appreciation. That's what we want to do here all week. Busted Pencils. Yep. If you forgot, the number is 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Favorite teacher love, teacher appreciation. Come on, let us know. Remind us who they are. Johnny, you had first grade teacher. I did my fourth grade teacher. Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, did one of my favorite, I'd say, teachers too, just from the old idea, Howard Zinn, A People's History of the United States. My goodness, talk about that. You know, we're going to have Dr. Nancy Carlson Page on. Oh, wait, we will. Every first Monday of the month, it will be. Right. What would Matt Damon's mom say? You know, we're going to have a little bit more, though, about this conversation. She was on Howard Zinn's front porch hanging out.
Yeah, we got to come back to that.
We got to come back to that. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. Tomorrow night, Diane Ravitch. Yes, for sure. We mean it this time. See you tomorrow.